And welcome to Meathead Chatter, episode 45. And with me today is my old and sometimes current coach, Mike Westerling. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing great. I appreciate you getting on the podcast with me. For those of you who don't know who Mike is, I've mentioned him a couple times on the podcast. We've been working off and on since, like, I don't know, like 2017 or something.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So for the people, give a little rundown of kind of your background and kind of how you, we have some really cool backstory stuff we could get into. Let's just start with your strength background.
Well, when I was a little kid, I was sick all the time. I had really bad asthma, and I would spend a lot of time in the hospital. It was before they had, like, inhalers and stuff like that, you know? So whenever I had a problem, I was living with my grandparents at the time, and they didn't like me to go outside. An asthma attack or whatever. So I was always, you know, pretty sick and scrawny and whatever. And then when I was about, I'm really bad with ages and dates, so you're going to have to bear with me. But when I was probably around like 8 or 10, I was reading superhero comic books all the time. And I saw this ad in the back for Charles Atlas. Back when I was a kid, everybody knew who he was, but I don't think anybody knows anymore. But
dude, I've been collecting a lot of vintage weight plates, and I know he had some deep dish weight plates back in the day.
Oh, okay, yeah. So back then, he put out a course called Dynamic Tension, and it was basically, you know, you curl one arm against the other arm as it does a tricep extension, and you squeeze real hard for like 10 seconds.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
He had basically something like that for each body part. So I started doing that, and I started feeling a little better. And my grandfather saw me doing it one day, and he was an ex-pro boxer. And he was like, what are you doing? And I told him, trying to exercise. And he goes, oh, well, let me show you some other exercises. So he started training me to hit the bag, push-ups, like light dumbbell shit and stuff like that. And nice. I just got into it. And I started getting in better shape and feeling better and getting stronger. And that was kind of where it all started. And then by the time I was 15, I was just totally into working out. Like, I was your typical meathead. All I cared about was training.
Right.
I used to call my grandparents from school and say I'm sick, and then get me excused. And then instead of walking home, I'd walk to the gym and work out for 3 or 4 hours. And I'd call them from the gym and be like, I'm feeling better. I'm going to stay at school.
Dude, you have
so
you,
that was kind of my
you have the best background stories ever. I want to jump in real quick. Everyone, go buy Built by Mike, your ebook. It's at startingstrongman.com?
Yep.
And then do you have it on, like, your website or anywhere else?
No, I just sell it through Kale because he's been really good to me, and yeah. I don't want to, you know. I think I had it somewhere for a while, but I took it down.
Dude, yeah. So that there is some great classic, like, how you, like, pretty cool background, and of course great programming and methodologies too, which we'll get into after a little bit, but yeah, everybody hit pause, go buy that, and come back and we'll talk more. So all right, cool. So you started lifting and doing stuff with your uncle and
grandfather,
that's right. You would skip school to go lift weights. And yeah. Moving on. Sorry, I had to jump in.
Oh, no problem at all. So after that, when I was about 15, I was just a full-blown meathead, like going, buying all the different, like, muscle mags, Iron Man, all that stuff. And I was just totally into it. I competed in powerlifting a little bit, and I was starting to get more into bodybuilding just because the powerlifters at the gym that I was at, most of them were fat, and I liked the bodybuilding.
You wanted to be jacked.
Better
cause, yeah.
Yeah, because they were like superheroes, you know?
Right.
So I started doing, you know, the programs out of the magazines and stuff. And as you know, I would overtrain a lot. I'd try to make up for it if I eat too much. And then, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'd drink a whole gallon of milk before bed because somebody said it was a good idea. And then I ended up, like, laying in bed wanting to die because it hurt so bad to have a gallon of milk in my stomach, you know?
Right.
So I got that book, Education of a Bodybuilder by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I started reading that, and he talked about how he always thought Germany was too small for him, and he had to come to America, you know, live in California, become an actor, whatever.
Yep.
California, when I was 15. I had $1,200 in my pocket when I got off the plane. I had about, I forget how much, I think I probably had like 900 and some change.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to go to Gold's Gym and work out with all the pros and learn what I could because I thought the magazines must be hiding something, you know?
Right. There's some special sauce out there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there, of course, we all know now that there is a special sauce out there, but that wasn't what I was thinking at the time. So I got there and I was staying in this crappy motel called like the Cap Motel or something shitty like that. It was like that after a couple of days, my funds were dwindling. So I slept on the beach one night and I ran into some other kids that were on the beach kind of doing the same thing.
Right.
And the next day, what happened to those kids yesterday? And they're like, oh, they were lost and they're both in the hospital. So I started climbing to the roof of Gold's Gym because I figured none of the,
safer
you
than,
know, the meth heads or drug addicts or whatever back then would come up and get me. So I was sleeping in an air conditioning vent for about 3 months till I met someone. And then I finally kind of had my own place for a while.
Nice.
Were any questions about all that?
So you moved out there when you were 15. Which is crazy. You slept on the beach and then you moved up to the roof because it was safer. And you were a weight picker-upper in Gold's Gym, weren't you?
That was my first job out there. I got a job picking up the weights. And I basically $8.50 an hour to walk around and clean up after people.
Hey, $8.50 an hour for that, you know, back in the day. Like, that was better than minimum wage, wasn't it?
I think minimum wage was four
at
the time, and you know, I lived in, it was two blocks from the beach, and our student here, $200 a month total.
Oh, that ain't bad.
$100 a week out of my paycheck towards that.
So you were
in a bathroom and a shower, which kind of blew, but I just would walk to the gym and
sorry, man, the audio's cutting out a little bit on the phone here.
Okay.
Oh, there you are. So that got you into like the bodybuilding world. You did some powerlifting before that. But for those who know who you are or of you, you coached a ton of like strongman people and a lot of like high level strongman people too. Excluding me, cause you know, I'm okay, but I'm not, I'm not Spencer Merrick or Shaw. I think you coached Shaw for a minute, didn't you?
Yeah, in 2021, I did.
Yeah,
we worked together. For,
when he got second.
Yeah, it was probably his best place in, I don't know, 7 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that year. I was, and it's like he had a shot at winning. I forget the event, but there was one event where it was like, ooh, that was like a technical mistake. And it's like if he would have won that one, he'd have had it. But
yeah, he only lost by, I think, a point.
Yeah, it was so close. Yeah.
And a half or something. What was on the train push, train around in a circle?
Yeah,
he started
that was
off
it.
With two. So because he started off with two biggest steps, he didn't. And I mean, he told me, he's like, "Yeah, it was just a technical error. No, you know, it happens. Whatever. But I should have taken smaller steps."
Yep.
Like everybody else did, and that dropped him down quite a few places.
Yeah, I mean that was the point right there.
One place higher on that, he would have won it. You know,
oof. And man,
it was good to work with him. I was just humbled that he, you know, he let me. You know,
well, and I mean, if you look at, if you guys hop over to Instagram and follow at Built by Mike, that's your Instagram feed. And it's like it's not like you just post your workouts. It's like every post is like, hey, here's my 17 athletes that competed this weekend and won everything. Like it's impressive. It's super cool.
Thank you.
So how did, and I mean, also about like how we worked together for a strongman show initially. It was like, I can't remember if the first show was just strongman or if it was that one I did out at Travis Mash's place that was like a strongman show in the morning and a powerlifting meet in the afternoon. Because I know you.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first prep I ever did with you, and I won both. So that was a good day, and I was like, okay, yeah, Mike knows his things. You're also who coached me to my first 500 pound bench press, which is super cool. That's probably like the coolest thing I've done in the lifting world, but, you're definitely,
I think a 500 pound bench press is fantastic. Like so many people like, oh, only 500. There's so many, you know, all this, but 500, you should be proud of that, man.
Oh,
that
dude. Yeah.
Fantastic lift.
I know like two other people in person that I actually know that have benched more than 500 pounds. And I know a lot of people in the lifting world. So yeah, that's the lift I kind of hang my hat on, was that 507 back in 2021. But, so brain. Okay, there you go. So strongman. So you were in the bodybuilding world, you moved out to California, you got to meet some of the names people probably won't recognize, but like some very cool, very strong, guys that were out in that vet. And you were in the, like the golden era of Gold's Gym, Venice Beach.
I think I came in just a little bit past what they call the golden era, but,
it was like second generation.
Yeah, exactly. Like the big at the time were like Mike Christian, Rich Gasparri, Lee Haney.
Yep.
I don't think Rich Gasparri was at the Olympia yet, but I was training with the Barbarian Brothers, usually just David. So the first day I was in the gym, David and Peter were working out together near me, and I was like, you know, scrawny little kid. I'm like, hey, can I train with you guys? I've seen you in the magazines, you know? And they're like, yeah, right. Hop in. So like halfway through the workout, I forget what happened. I think Peter got a phone call or something and left, and David goes, you want to finish the workout with me? So I was like, sure. So we finished the workout together, and I guess him and Peter didn't train together that often.
Gotcha.
That just happened to be one of the times that they did. So David's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? You want to train back with me? So I was like, hell yeah. So we were training partners on and off for about 6 months.
So cool.
And, you know, I trained with Peter every now and then, you know, the three of us would train together, or if David was out of town, I might train with Peter, but it was basically me and David training together most of the time. And it was really cool. It was kind of geeky. I used to dress like him and shit because he was my idol at the
your
time.
Your hero, so, man. You're like 16 years old, and this like dude that's in, you know, bodybuilder magazines is,
yeah, exactly,
consistently training with you. Like, yeah, I'd fanboy too.
Oh, wicked bad. And it was fun though. He was a real nice guy, and you know, we would train for like hours. Like he was just into, you know, I would, right now looking at it was so overtraining, but at 16 with all the growth hormone and hormones that you just have naturally, you know, yep, and the mental attitude, I survived it. But we would do like 50 sets of five for heavy back. Like
Jesus.
He's like, all right, we're going to do five sets of five heavy on rows and not count the warm up, like on bent over rows. Then we'd do like five sets of five heavy on T-bars. Again, not count the warm ups. Then we'd do like five sets of five on cable rows, and we'd just do 10 different exercises like that.
Jesus.
And it was like, we'd start with something different every time. And I don't know how my back didn't just blow off, you know, out of the back of my spine. But
dude, it's crazy what you can survive back in that, in your teens, in your early 20s. I was doing more CrossFit stuff because I was coming out of MMA, like in my early 20s. Yep. And just like, I could train 6 days a week, and it was more reppy or whatever. It wasn't like super heavy all the time, but like 6 days a week, like no issue. Like you could survive that. It was, yeah, it's crazy.
You can until you can.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not ideal, but like,
yeah, I was training for a few years, and then my elbows started to hurt so bad that like I couldn't drive my car. You know what I mean? Like I would have to hold my hands on my lap and like use my fingers to kind of manipulate the wheel around instead of use my arms. And I got rid of my standard because shifting killed me.
Oof.
My knees started to hurt so bad. Like, you know, I was doing the old man getting up out of chairs at like 18 years old. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So I had to get out of that real quick and figure out what worked for me. But it was, you know, it was priceless times though. Just a good time to train. I got to train with Victor Richards a couple times. He jumped in with me and David. We're doing like arms with him. Just a lot of cool guys out there. You know, I actually lived with Don Ross and Grizzly Brown. He was a world, well, he never won, but he used to compete.
He was like,
in World's Strongest Man.
Oh man, he's the strongest dude to have never won it, man. He is. There was one year, I think there was one year where it was like, I think Kazmaier ended up getting him, but it was like, down to the last event, the fridge run or something?
Wilson.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Odie.
Thinking of Odie Wilson. I mean, Grizzly was good, but he was never, I don't think he was ever close
at that
to the
level.
Top.
Okay, okay.
But he was strong as shit. I mean, he would do military presses with 365 for like 3 or 4 reps, standing strict out of the rack, no leg drive or nothing, just perfect, powerful presses, you know. That's but he crazy. Was real fat, too. He had trouble with all the moving stuff.
Right, but statically, just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you did the bodybuilding thing. Did you get, what was the next thing you kind of messed with? Was that kind of the next step was strongman, or did you play with other stuff too?
Oh,
or?
No. So I bodybuilded until I, eventually my grandfather got sick and my grandmother asked me to move back to Massachusetts and help take care of him. So I did that. And then while I was living with them, my goal was to get in the Navy and be a Navy SEAL. But I had too many speeding tickets in a year, so I had to wait a year for those to kind of roll over, I guess. So I was like, what am I going to do for a year? And they're like, well, why don't you go to college and come in as an officer? And then I was like, college? I can't go to college. I didn't even graduate high school. And they were like, well, you got your GED to take the ASVAB, and you did really good on the ASVAB. With that kind of scores, you should be able to have no problem doing your GRE, no, what is it? GREs, whatever the MCATs. MCATs?
That's the medical one. SATs?
SATs, whatever, yeah. To get into college. So I took my SATs. I don't remember the score, but I did really well. So I got into college, and once I got into college, I was like, screw the Navy. I'm going to stay in college. This is awesome. So during college, I played rugby. And I powerlifted to help with the rugby, but I didn't really compete at it. I would do like a random bench contest every now and then,
right,
or something. But I was basically into rugby for 5 years of college. I ended up switching majors, so I stayed there an extra year.
I lived that life. I get it.
I played rugby throughout college. I got out of college. I was back into bodybuilding for a bit, and you remember those strength shoes with the big built-up toes?
Yes. For like
calves.
So
I bought a pair of those. Exactly. So I was going to jump and run and do all this shit in those to build up my calves, and I ended up tearing my Achilles.
Ooh.
In
overuse injury, right? Another overtraining thing.
Yeah. So that was in a pickup football game, you know, because my Achilles were so sore all the time and I just kept trying to push through. So I tore that. And while I was rehabbing that, I was watching MMA stuff. So when I got done with, out of the rehab, I started, that was when the UFC first came out. So I was watching like Hoist Gracie kill everybody. And then Ken Shamrock. And I was like, man, that guy's got to build.
Yeah, dude, so he was jacked. He was like the first or one of the first like jacked guys that was good.
Yeah. He was a superhero looking dude too. And then, I got into that. I started doing Taekwondo, and then they sent me to this Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu place. Cause they're like, if you really want to do MMA, you need to grapple. That's where it's at these days. So
yeah, you at least need to be able to defend it.
Exactly. So I got into doing that at this place called the Dragon's Lair in Framingham, Massachusetts. I became really good friends with the owner. We were training like maniacs all the time. Just loved it for, 5-6 years straight, like 5 or 6 days a week, going like nuts. Competed in grappling a few times, but there was no local MMA scene at the time.
Right.
Until I started to move out of it. And then it started to get big in the area after I was done with it. I got married, had a kid at the time. So the fighting went on the back burner, and I just started getting back into bodybuilding again. And then we went to the Olympia 1 year with some friends of ours. And there was a World's Strongest Man exhibit, you know, where they were doing the Atlas Stones.
Right.
And Pujanowski would do them, and then you could try them if you wanted to. So I couldn't get the first stone. And Kazmaier was, like, talking to the audience. He's like, this young man sits on his couch every day thinking, I could do that shit, when he's watching World's Strongest Man. And look at him. He can't even pick up the first stone.
Dude, that was a pretty spot on. Like, the first half of that Kaz impression was, like, perfect. That was like spot on.
Yeah. So I was like, I was so mad after that. I'm like, I'm going to get good at this stupid thing, these stupid things, because next year I'm going to come back and load them all and fuck him, you know?
Right.
Sorry for the language. I went to a Sven Carlson seminar and kind of learned all the events. And then I bought all this shit for my house, and it was in my basement in my backyard. And I started training strongman. And my first show were actually the same weight as when, I don't know if you remember, but when Kaz first loaded all the McGlashan stones, I think they were called, in one of the World's Strongest Man's. This was before they had Tacky, but nobody else loaded the last one, and Kaz won the thing, and everybody was freaking out. My first show had the same weight as Kaz loaded in that, and I beat his time by like 10 seconds.
Hell yeah.
And of course that was, you know, he probably never trained him before that.
Right.
I'm not saying I was anywhere near as good as Kaz ever in my entire life, but I had Tacky, he didn't.
Yep,
I practiced him all year,
difference.
He didn't. But
yeah,
it was
it's crazy.
My brain, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, you know?
Well, because his heaviest log was like 350 or something like that. But again, like,
I think it was 365, but there was no technique.
There was no,
it was a roll up press.
And there were no logs to train with. Like, nowadays,
exactly.
We're so spoiled, blessed, whatever you want to say, but like, you can go to Rogue and order a log. You can go to Rogue and get the stone molds. You can go to Bartos and get a stone of steel. You can easily acquire any piece of strongman equipment you want and train with it.
Yeah, or you can plaster a Paris giant ball and then load it with cement and make your own.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually genius.
Well,
super cheap.
About making the, making the cellar a mess.
Yeah. Huh. I like that. But yeah, it's crazy how much weight those guys back then were moving on these implements, basically having never touched them too. And like, people forget that, but.
Oh, insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the biggest reason why we've seen, in my opinion, like the skill of even the amateur level strongman go up so high. Like the weights at like the middleweight pro shows are like heavier than the old World Strongest Man shows, but it's because everybody gets to practice it and gets really good at it.
Exactly.
That's a huge piece.
I mean, the weights I just saw them use at like CrossFit last year on that yoke carry is like, that was what they had at like lightweight nationals a few years ago, you know?
Yeah, dude.
I should say 20 years ago, but.
It always cracks me up when people crap on like CrossFit, and it's like, people are thinking like Joe Schmo off the couch doing a CrossFit workout. They're not thinking about the best people in the world doing CrossFit, because you get like,
not at all.
Rogan, I remember, I was on the Starting Strongman Facebook group or something when the Rogue Invitational, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, had like a max log was one of the events or part of one of the events. And you had these dudes that are like 205 pounds body weight. And there was more than one person pressing a 300 plus log. That's a CrossFitter. And I remember the level of butt hurt in that group was so deep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those CrossFit guys are amazing. You know,
they're unbelievable,
and your body can take it. You can, you know, I don't know why people knock on it so much. I think just because it's hard to do if you're not built for it, and you'll fall apart if you're not built for
it. It's definitely like 5'8", 180 to like 200 pounds. Like is it like that's where it's at, and young enough to survive the volume.
A solid background.
Yep. But man, I mean, any sport, you get to the top level of the sport, everyone's a monster. Everyone's a badass. You shouldn't be surprised when they're better than an average amateur strongman competitor. Like, I didn't understand the angst that I was seeing there.
Yeah, it is crazy. Well, I think there's so many videos of guys doing, you know, kipping pull-ups and thrusters with 95 pounds.
Right.
And everyone just thinks that's what it is. It's fast-paced, super light. And they don't realize that there's a lot of heavy lifting.
There's heavy days,
you know,
too.
A lot of heavy training. And yeah, exactly. And a lot of these guys come from backgrounds where, you know, they might have played football or competed in wrestling or something, where they spent the first 5 years of their training career doing nothing but max effort lifts, you know? So
you come in with strength, conditioning's pretty easy to add.
Exactly, especially if you're not a fat ass, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's cool. So I want to get into a little bit of kind of your views on programming. We touched a lot on how overtraining seemed to be like a big piece of what was happening in your younger training careers and just kind of how you transitioned from there. But first, I'm going to do a little My Stuff promotions.
Go ahead.
So if you all would love to support the podcast so I can get cool people like Mike on here, there's a couple ways you can do it. In the description under the podcast, I have links, affiliate links for basically any gym equipment company you can think of. If you are looking for a new barbell, plates, kettlebells, anything, chances are I got a link down there. It will not change the pricing of the thing you buy, but it will kick me a couple cents on the dollars if you do. And then the second thing, as you guys may know, I am getting into like swinging maces and clubs quite a bit, to the point where I'm pretty decent at it, and I am now doing seminars kind of all over. We got 8 on the books as of now. 6 of them are purchasable through the gyms where they're being held at, and you can find them on the website, and 2 of them are purchasable through the website. Link is in the description. And back to the cool stuff. All right, so you were overtraining. It was causing some issues. You kind of, I know in your book you talk a little bit about Mike Metzger being a pretty big influence. So how did you kind of stumble across his stuff?
Well, when I was in California, I would talk to him every now and then, or his brother Ray, both super cool guys, but very headstrong and what he'd done. But Mike would always say, you only need to do enough to stimulate and then let it grow, you know? And he would say one set. And he actually trained David Paul, the barbarian that I was training with,
okay,
for a little while. And David got just ridiculously strong training with him. You know, after like, I forget how long he did it, maybe 6 weeks, like all the lifts that they've done, but then he plateaued. And Mike's like, you got to take more time off in between workouts because you're stressing your body so hard with this heavy weight that you're not recovering. And David's like, oh, that's ridiculous. I just got lucky for 6 weeks because, you know,
it was basically a new stimulus.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I got to go back to what works for me. So he had already trained with Mike at the time. And gotcha. Then, so I would talk to David about it. And he's like, well, you know, you could do it for a couple of weeks if you wanted to try it, but you know, you're better off doing what I'm doing. You will be way stronger and way bigger. And look at how much bigger I am than him and blah, 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 you know?
Right.
And at the time, Mike was kind of flabby. He hadn't really been trained anymore. He was more into coaching.
Yeah, he was definitely one that after he was done competing, he was just done doing all the stuff that competing entails and just went to coaching. Yeah, it's crazy to see the differences between like his early pictures and his like now that he's coaching kind of pictures.
Oh yeah, I talked to him on the phone a couple times and I'm like, what's that noise? Are you smoking a cigarette? He's like, yeah, I enjoy the finer things of life. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? You know, he's like, I got to have my cigarette and my coffee. I'm like, you're kidding me. But anyway, he was a good guy. And, you know, he kind of had me start thinking about that. And it was always in the back of my mind. And he would, whenever I emailed him or talked to him, he was always, you know, willing to tell me whatever. He knew I was, you know, he thought I was an idiot being so young and not listening to him. But,
right.
But
I mean,
that's
what you get to do when you're young.
You know? Exactly. So I started to, when I was playing rugby, I started to do more of the low set, you know, one set to failure type stuff so that I'd have more energy left to play rugby. And I also was following kind of Ed Cohen's programming approach with the basic stuff. So, you know, you'd start with like an 8 to 10. Next week, you'd go up and wait a little bit for another 8 to 10. The next week, you might go 6 to 8. The next week, 5s, 3, you know, whatever. I was kind of following that programming approach with squat, bench, and deadlift because I wanted to get stronger. And then I was following Mike's approach with the one set to failure with all the assistance stuff because my thought was Mike definitely knew what he was talking about when it came to bodybuilding.
Right.
But there was a practice aspect that you needed to be good at powerlifting. You know what I mean?
That totally makes sense.
One set of squat and not practice your technique and not do multiple things and not do warm-ups and get stronger at it. So
whereas you could probably do
both.
like one set of like a leg press or something where there isn't as much technical demand. You're just trying to work the muscle to the point where it gets a growth signal. Whereas if you're in a strength sport, you have to be good at the movement too, especially when you're talking strongman or weightlifting or something like that.
I mean, you could do it with squats too, just the one set to failure, I think, and get good leg growth out of it. But you would never get that upper limit of strength that you would get by doing, you know, either speed work or multiple sets or, you know, technique work or whatever you want to call it on the way up. So like on a squat, I would do, you know, small jumps like I had you do, small jumps, lots of sets. So I got tons of practice without overtraining and then do your top set of whatever it was going to be for the day.
Yeah.
And I tried to look at those sets on the way up as speed work because anything, you know, 40% to 70% is good speed training, right? So
right.
You do your warm up and you start at like 40% and do a triple, and 45 do a triple, 50 do a triple, or 10% or whatever, depending on how much
right.
practice you needed. And then I'd get to my top set and go all out. And I noticed there's, I forget the guy's name. I know Greg Panora works with him. I think they like do seminars together. He wrote that fifth set, I think it's called.
Yes.
Where you do like four sets of two or three, I think, speed work. And then on your last set, you rep it out.
Yep.
So I've been incorporating that into my athletes for a while now, too. Instead of just having, you know, threes all the way up, I might have them get to a certain work weight and then do multiple sets with that. And then
finish with a big one. Because then by the time you get to that last set, you're like technically super dialed into the movement pattern. So now you can push because you're going to be in your groove. Is that kind of the thought process there? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Swede.
That's right.
Yep. That's his name, right? Swede. I want to say MF Swede, but I don't know what the MF stands for. But I think I've seen that written somewhere with I follow Greg Panora on Instagram.
And he's a good follow. Yeah.
Talk about him. Yeah, he's a super strong dude. I mean, world champion with gear and then came back after strokes and made a world champion
raw.
Out of himself raw. Yep. You know, just, and he always his team's puts out killing information.
I love his, like, he'll put out like just like captions with like, kind of like, this is a stupid thing people do, this is how you don't do it, like kind of calling out the annoying, like, not what you should be working on powerlifting stuff. He's a good follow.
He actually started, I don't know if he actually started in the same gym I did or was there for a little while, but Pep's gym in Maynard, Massachusetts,
yeah,
was the first gym I went to, and Greg was there for, after I left, Greg was there for a little while, and some of my friends used to train with him or compete with him or were friends with him that used to tell me about him.
Nice. Yeah, he was, I heard him on Dave Tate's podcast. He's been on there a few episodes with this last one, and I remember him mentioning Pep's gym, yeah.
Oh, did he? I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. There's some good West Side stories on that podcast, as there always are, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dave Tate has some good information out there, too.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so you kind of were mulling over, thinking about Mesker's training methodologies, but kind of seeing, like, there might be some gaps when it comes to, like, performance compared to building muscle. And is that kind of how you worked on developing kind of your system, is just kind of filling in those gaps?
Yeah, so my system was kind of so I don't know if you know, when I first got into strongman, Steve Kerrett helped me out a lot. He was a great strong American strongman. Jesse Morandi helped me out a lot. Josh Thigpen, Travis, they were all really good. And Brian, even Brian Shaw, that's how I ended up working with him, is because way back when I got into it, it was about the same time he was, and we talked a little bit. And then in 2000, I forget what year I worked with him. I think it was 21. Or 2020, I emailed him and I was like, hey, you know, I've been watching your training videos and stuff, and I think there's some stuff that you could be doing better. And, you know, you helped me out. And he knew I had worked with like Kristen Rhodes and she was killing it.
Yep.
And I said, you know, you helped me out in the beginning. You were willing to help me out when I asked. And I think that I could help you
return
out.
Return the favor.
If you know, yeah, exactly. And he said, oh yeah, I'd love to hear it. So I emailed him back and forth and told him some stuff I thought he should work on. And he said, yeah, well, you know, I'll like to have you coach me this year. And then we started working together after that. And I thought, you know, I thought he did awesome. I think he was a little discouraged because his deadlift wasn't as high as it has been in the past.
Right. But part of that was he was getting, you know, old too.
Well, he was getting old and he had had hamstring injuries, and he would say, you know, my deadlift was doing better when I was doing a lot of extra hamstring work. And I'm like, yeah, but when you do a lot of extra hamstring work and you've got to run with a yoke and your hamstrings are tight and it takes, you're going to be able to do anything. So my looking at him was, I wanted to make him as all around good as possible. Cause I knew,
right. Cause that's what wins, especially World's Strongest Man.
Exactly. And he would win the log in the deadlift and then not do that, you know, not do good enough on the other. So my thought was, if you were good enough on the log and the deadlift, and won everything else, or were at the top on everything else, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be healthier, you're going to be stronger overall, and you get a better shot at winning. And I mean, we almost did it, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I was stoked that year when, cause I was watching the, whatever the updated spreadsheet that Kale puts out. I was watching it as things were happening, and I was like, oh, barely. Yeah, it was cool.
Was bummed. I mean, I like Tom too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's doing great and he's an awesome champion. I've always been a Brian Shaw fan, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just nice to, it'd be really cool to see him get his fifth, and it just looks like it probably isn't going to happen. I mean, not that four is bad, but like it'd be nice to have someone, because Marius was unbelievable. He looked like a superhero. He was so good. But that was also when like you had World's Strongest Man and the IFSA split. So Big Z went over to IFSA. Marius had beaten Big Z, but then like, and it's not that the guys at World's Strongest Man, it's not that World's Strongest Man guys were not as good as the IFSA guys per se, but like just not having them all in the same pool, you couldn't really.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, but then when you saw the IFSA guys come back because the weights over there were so heavy, you know, Big Z and everybody else that came back from IFSA just started like ruling World's Strongest Man, so. It would have been nice to see Marius compete against those guys. And I mean, how many titles would Big Z have if he was competing at World's Strongest Man that whole time instead of going over to IFSA?
Well, you never know, too, though, because Marius competed for, what was it? He won five, but I think there was like a gap year here or there, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, think about being at your peak strength for 6 or 7 years in a row. You know what I mean? How much longer was he going to maintain it when Big Z came back? I mean, he was pretty much done at that point, you know?
That's a good point.
Now, I don't know if Big Z would have beat him all those years. He probably wouldn't have in the beginning. But then, as you know, as the weights went up and Big Z got stronger, maybe...
Yeah, well, and maybe...
Because like you said, it was two different shows.
Yeah, well, and if IFSA was heavier than World's Strongest Man and he wasn't doing IFSA, he wouldn't have gotten the same possibly development from it because he wasn't training for as heavy of things. So yeah, it's one of those woulda, coulda, shoulda, who knows. But yeah, I just think it would be cool to have another person that has gotten five, you know, and it'd be really cool if it was someone from the US, you know.
I would have loved to see Brian win that year and would have worked together for the next year. Cause I think the stuff we learned
for sure,
I think we could have really stepped it up a second, but like I said, I think he was a little discouraged about his deadlift not being the best it's ever been. And, you know, and then he started working with another guy that he had worked with way back in the beginning that he liked. And I mean, I get it. Jesse Morundi was training me for free because I was, a moderator on his forum. And after a few weeks, I'm like, you're overtraining the crap out of me. I'm falling apart. I can't do this.
Right.
But it's free. And I'm like, I agree. You know, I get it. And I love it. But this is too much for me.
If it's not going to put you where you need to be.
I'm falling apart. Yeah. I'm hurt. You know, I can't. And he's like, well, just up the test. And I'm like, I'm not taking any tests. He's like, what? He's like, aren't you serious? I thought you were serious, you know? And I'm like, you know, I'm older now. I'm doing this as a hobby. This is like my golf. It's not, you know, it's not my life like it is yours. So. And he just couldn't even understand that mindset, but he was a great guy. I liked him a lot.
And he won World's Strongest Man once. Did he win? I'm trying to think.
No, he never won.
He was up there though. Yeah. Okay. That's right. He was one of those guys kind of like Thigpen that was like, maybe not the most statically strong, but just very athletic and strong enough, you know, or Magnus von Magnussen was kind of like that too.
Oh my God, that guy was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, now, like, man, his grip is crazy.
Have you ever met Thigpen in person?
I have not. I would love to.
So I met him and Jesse the same day at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And the two of them don't even look like they belong in the same species as the rest of us. Like, they were super tall.
It's crazy.
Mean. Like,
I just Josh's remember.
Hands were like. Cinder blocks. Like, I was like, what are you made out of, dude? You're made out of like stone. His wrists were bigger than my legs. Like, I'm like, this is like the X-Men gene, you know? You guys should be actually
for sure. I'm not a small guy. I'm like, I'm 6 foot, 5'11, I don't know, somewhere right in there. I'm right about 6 foot. And I'm like 270 pounds and like I'm pretty lean. But I remember whenever I'm at like the Arnold or something or somewhere where I happen to meet one of these guys, I remember shaking Mateusz Kieliszkowski's hand and being like, his hand should not be this much bigger and meatier and thicker than mine. And just like, and he's not one of the super, super huge ones. And it was still, I still felt like a little child, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this, at just, the time, I think he was like 26 or something. And I'm like, how are you that big?
It's crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy the diversity in size of adult humans that that lift weights. It's mind-boggling when you see it in person, but
and then you look at a guy like Darren Sadler who was like
so small,
not very big at all, and he was hanging with all of those guys.
Well, and I was going to say, and it's not like he was in like the 70s. Like he was in like the early 2000s and like late 90s with like Marius and Big Z was there and Shaw was just getting into it. Like he was with those guys and he's what, like 5'8"?
No, not even close.
Really? He's shorter than that?
I don't know for sure, but I'm 5'10" and he was a little bit shorter than me and had on like platform shoes. So, wow. I mean,
he should have done powerlifting.
Right after the Stone Load when I met him and I was like, I mean, he's built like granite. He looks like he's made out of rocks.
He looks like a superhero for sure.
And he can move. But I was like, wow, I can't believe how much smaller he is than everybody else and still hanging with that.
Man, I felt like that. Amazing. I felt like that a little bit. I mean, he's not a small guy, but I feel like Dimitar was kind of like that too. Like 5'8", like 350 pounds. I mean, like you're going to be Dimitar's a big boy. He's a big boy. But just like the height difference was always so crazy to me. But he was one of those just static freak shows too. He did a powerlifting meet not too long ago. Where it looks like a brain.
Yeah. I'm like, what is that muscle? What is that? I don't even know what I was like, wow, what is that?
That's so funny. Yeah, he totally.
That's like he strained his head so hard it just grew muscle on top of it.
That's probably why he grew his hair back out. He saw the meme and was like, I can't be doing that anymore. So I know you're coaching Spencer Merrick right now. You're coaching some bigger name
Remick,
guys right
Spencer,
now.
Remick.
Yes.
Yeah. He just came back from, he did Giants Live in London and then JF Cameron's show in Canada.
Yeah. I knew he'd done some bigger shows recently. Looking at your page, not too long ago. And then,
yeah, I'm waiting for the pictures so I can post them. He hasn't been. Nobody was there filming, so he's going to get them from the promoters and stuff. But,
gotcha. That'll be.
But
cool.
He did all right. He did. You know, he didn't win, but he did pretty good. And I mean, the lineup that he was competing against,
it was good guys.
At Giants was basically the same as he was at World's Strongest Man. I mean, Mitchell Hooper and all those guys. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's going to go. He's going to go places. And he was that World's Strongest Man this year. So,
yep.
I think he'll do well. Just got to keep putting in the time. He's just that workhorse that, like, we've been working together for a super long time. And he just keeps putting in the work and gets better and better every year. Just a little better, a little better, a little better.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch him. I followed him the past, like, maybe year and a half or so. And just to kind of see him progress. And it's, yeah, I mean, you can tell it's working. And that's the thing. I feel like you're not one of those guys that's like, oh, someone's at this level, then they approach you. It's like you're getting guys from like intermediate to advanced amateur and like kind of building them to that next level, which speaks a lot about like just your methodologies and kind of how you work with people, which is super cool.
Thank you. Most of them come to me broken, though. I don't think I've had anyone come to me that was in one piece.
Hey, I came to you in one piece.
Torn something I got. That's true. That's true.
Originally,
like you said, but you're like herding cats, like you said, man.
Yeah.
That was the best analogy I've ever heard. You're like all over the place,
man.
You're like, I want to powerlift, and then like halfway, you're like, my back's kind of tweaked. I want to do MMA. Oh, my toe's broken. I want to go and fight lions. Oh, wait a minute, I'm going to try to swing this car over my head. But it's cool though. You know, learn a lot of stuff that way. And I was kind of the same way. I was very non-coachable. I was always wanting to do something new, try something else. You know, if I was my athlete, I would probably show up at my house, shoot me in the face, and leave. So I get it.
Yeah, I love to, like, so I've had, like, lots of random goals over there. It started with strongman. It went to powerlifting. I was on, like, a kettlebell kick for a minute. I was thinking about maybe doing Olympic lifting. And well, it's funny, every time I was like, what about this? You're like, okay, we could do that. And you'd program it, and I'd look at it, and I'd be like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Like, every time, I'm like, it doesn't matter what weird combination of things I give you. You always come up with something where I'm like, dude, that actually makes a lot of sense. And I think it's because you've done, like, so many different things and played in so many different arenas that, like, you get it.
And I actually started personal training people when I was 16 at Gold's Venice. And, you know, I've been doing it on and off through college. I did it, you know, and then I did it full time after I graduated from college. I worked as a chemist for a little while. And then I was still personal training part time, but then I got laid off from that job and just went to full time. And I mean, that was, 30 years ago, you know? So it's like, I've trained bodybuilders, powerlifters, strongmen. I had a girl that I trained for, you know, the fitness competition. She won the Arnold. Annette Perry. Yep. I couldn't tell you the year. You'd have to Google it. But she won the Arnold in fitness, you know? So I've worked with all these people from firefighters, MMA guys. So, you know, and most of the people that I started working with came to me broken. So it's always that build-up phase. Like, I don't know, Marshall Light.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Marshall White, the strongman. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
So I was, actually, Ryan Bakke was my first strongman client. We were training together when I moved out to Arizona. I actually moved out here to train with him and Scott Porter and Kevin Nee and all those guys. Yep. And that was this crap show that you wouldn't believe. Like, nobody ever showed up on time. Half of the people didn't show. They canceled last minute. We're going to do it tomorrow instead. It was a nightmare. I'm like, I can't wait to get out there and train with pros, and we'll have, like, a set schedule and everything. But anyway, one day me and Ryan were talking. He's like, I think I'm going to give up strongman. I'm falling apart. My elbows are killing me. I can't even pour milk for my son. And I'm like, well, why don't you try this, this, and this? Why don't, instead of giving it up, try these things? And he's like, why didn't you ever mention this before? And I'm like, well, because you guys are all pros, and I'm just getting into it. I'm a nobody, you know. I'm just trying to learn what I can from you guys and train and keep up the best I can, you know? And he's like, well, I wish you had said something. So I started training him one-on-one in my garage, his garage, whatever, back and forth. And he made a comeback at America's Strongest Man. I forget what it was that year. And he did really well, but he hurt something on the yoke. So he ended up pulling out of the show. But through him, I started talking to Marshall White, who was a super volume guy. Like, you got to do more, got to do more, got to do more.
Right.
And I would say, well, you know, I think you're doing a little too much. And he'd go, well, I can a front squat 200 pounds more than you. So what the fuck do you know? You know? And I'm like, there I am swearing again. I'm trying so hard not to swear.
No, dude, you're good. Let it fly.
I want to break it because my daughter swears because of me. And I'm
horrible.
But anyway,
okay.
Well, she's 23 now. She's going to do her own thing. But anyway, I was training Marshall, and I'm like, I mean, I wasn't training Marshall. I was training Ryan, and Marshall was constantly in his ear. That's not enough. You need to do this. That's not enough.
Yep.
So me and Marshall would argue constantly back and forth online, through emails, on the phone, like, because Marshall was convinced that I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to ruin Ryan. Ryan would be doing so much better if he trained like Marshall, squatting 3 days a week or whatever. So one day Marshall calls me up. He's like, dude, I tore my bicep. I'm screwed. I need your help. What do I do? So he came out to Arizona, stayed at Ryan's house. And, you know, we talked through a plan. And I was like, this is what you need to do. This is why I think it happened, whatever. And we started working together. And I think it was 5 months after his bicep surgery, he came in either third or fourth at America's Strongest Man.
Wow.
And I was actually programming for Mike Caruso, Carl Formel, and him. And all three of them were in the top five that year.
Yeah, I remember. So I remember Mike Caruso. He was an RPE strength guy for a minute, wasn't he?
I don't know what happened to him after I worked with him. That was years before.
Okay.
He got to RPE, I think. But he was awesome. I mean, he was just an amazing, amazing athlete.
Yeah, he went to Worlds. I think one or two years, like in the mid 2000s, like 2010 or something, or eight.
Well, he did after I stopped working with him, but I know he did a lot of good.
Yeah.
A lot of good, impressive things for sure. That dude was jacked too. But after that, I got Kristen Rhodes was like, hey, you know, I think I could be good at this, but I keep hurting my back. What do I do? So I started working with her. Marshall was the one, I think, that told her to call me. So I started working with her, and I mean,
she won everything.
You know, she went from, 1 year getting hurt and having to drop out of America's Strongest Woman. She won it 8 times with me. 3 times she won Worlds. She had, you know, a few different. Strongest Woman was trademarked, and they weren't using it. So it was Strongest Woman in the World.
Yep.
That she won. So the World's Strongest Woman title eluded her at that point. So even though she was technically the World's Strongest Woman, the actual title, the trademark title, was not being contested. So, and then she had gone a couple injuries.
Oh, sorry, you broke up again there for a second.
What's the last thing you heard?
So she didn't get the World's Strongest Woman title because it was licensed, but she basically was, and anyone knows
she
that.
Beat all the, it was Strongest Woman in the World was the title those years. Well, it wasn't because the other one was trademarked, and she beat all the girls that would have been in the other one had the trademark one been out. And then when it came back out, she was getting older, she had a few injuries, and she would have won it. But it came down to the final event was a car hold, you know, the pick deadlift and hold it for time. Right. And the other girl dropped it, and she saw the other girl drop it, and she let go and goes, I won. But it turned out that the other girl won for her. So the timer, she lost it, and she came in second that year.
Oh, so the other girl picked it up before her? Like, is that right? Is that what you just said?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she didn't realize it was two different timers, or she thought they both picked it up at the same time. So the girl beat her by like a second.
But she could have definitely held it
for
longer.
She could have held it for another 30 seconds if she had to. She was just like, I won. And they were like, nope. And she was like,
oh, that sucks.
So that was heartbreaking. But, I mean, she even after that with the injuries and everything, she still hung in the top three for the next couple of years. And, I mean, she could come back now and still compete if she wanted to.
Right.
She didn't train for a whole year, and she's like, I think I want to start training again. What should I do? So I gave her a little workout, and I'm like, oh, how'd it go? And she's like, oh, I pulled 405.
Jesus.
And she hasn't worked out in a year or maybe two.
It's like, funny with her. It's like, I get it. She's, what more does she have to do in the sport? So it's like, I get why she would be like,
well,
yeah, I'm done, but it's fun
back,
to come back. it dropped off again. Sorry, man. Almost there.
Hello?
There you are.
All right. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I'm in a bad reception spot. So if I'm sitting in a chair, if I swivel, I lose you.
Oh, gotcha. I was going to say, I got two bars, but I had another podcast where it was doing this, and I'm always like, man, my Bluetooth isn't right. So,
it could be me. But yeah, she did. I mean, she won everything. She was the best in the world, I think. I think she was what Big Z is to women, you know, I mean,
100%. I could see that.
And I think she could win it all again. I mean, even if she came back now, she could at least win Masters, if not
Masters
be in the top five
for sure.
in Worlds, you know,
probably top five. Dude, have you seen Victoria Long?
Oh yeah. She's
dude.
Lifting weights insane.
All the weights are getting heavier. Everybody's getting better. Like it's insane the things that are happening. But dude, yeah, Masters she would wreck it, and she would. Yeah, I agree. She'd probably finish top five in the Open.
Oh yeah, she's just working now. She's a notary public, and she's got her own traveling business. So
that's cool.
She's just constantly working like 90-hour weeks, and
yeah, that's hard to train through.
You know, she'll get in a workout. I mean, I guess she's been training with the crew again, so she's gotten in a workout here and there, like once every week or two. But
nice,
you know, nothing like when she was really devoted to it 3 days a week.
Right. So cool.
But yeah, and then I had Andrew Clayton.
Kicking butt.
Yeah, he'll do awesome, and then he'll get his mind that he wants to do an Olympic meet or a powerlifting meet or
Right.
Set the world record on a skier or something like that. But, I mean, he won Worlds, 105K Worlds twice mm-hmm. now, and he won that other big show. I forget
what it was. He just did the Clash, right?
Like yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine anybody thinking he's not the best 105 in the world ever.
Yeah, he's well, I remember there was some drama about him not getting an invite for like 2 years or something, then he came and won it, and yeah, he is good. I have a buddy of mine that works out at the gym that I'm one of the owners at here in Indiana, Justin Loy, and he always competes at the Clashes, and he's actually at America's nice. Strongest Man right now. And then another guy, Tyler Pruitt, is kind of like in that crew of people that compete at that level. And dude, just the things,
I know, I've heard his name, yeah,
just the things that the middleweights are doing, it's insane. It is insane the weights everybody's hitting. It's like they have a log ladder in the 105 class and it ends for like max reps at 350 after they've pressed three other logs in ascending order. Like it's just nuts.
Well, look at Mandrew just missed. I mean, a couple of years back, he just missed 460 on the national state of prep.
Yeah. And he's, like, was he a heavyweight back?
460 is insane.
Was he a heavyweight back then? That was still, wow.
Oh, no. He had just finished lightweight and he wanted to try a heavyweight show.
Gotcha.
I think it was Jerry Pritchett's show that he missed the 460 at.
Man, that is like a Arnold's level log press is 460. Like that, at least, you know, I mean,
but he's shoot. Always in the 440, 460 range yeah. in training on the clean and press back. I mean, he's just a beast presser, and he's got the perfect technique for the split,
yep.
and he's the meanie.
Yeah, he is a monster. All right, man, we are coming up on an hour. Anything you want to leave the audience here with?
No. I mean, thanks for having me. Anything you want to say or any questions you have that you can think of? I mean, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, dude. I knew it would just kind of flow anyway. We've known each other forever. So, yeah, again, if you guys want to get a hold of Mike, you can find him on Instagram at Built by Mike. And check out his ebook. You have the Built by Mike ebook, which is the more complete kind of going over your training methodologies as well as like a number of programs in there. And then you also have like a 12-week off-season strongman plan as well on there.
The off-season one's a little bit more updated. Like the original one was kind of like the base program type thing, and then the off season one is a little bit more detailed. You know, like I give a couple of examples in the original one, but the next one has like a little bit more details, a little bit more of the fancy stuff, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they should just buy them both. I feel like they're both pretty cheap. I think that the off season one's a little cheaper too. Like for $50, you'd probably get them both.
And $40. I think they're $20 each now.
That is a ton of information for $40. You ain't going to get that like anywhere else.
You know what I do want to say is thank you to Cale Beck for, hosting my books and getting my name out there. He's telling me a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I found you. I bought the ebook on the site, and then I was like, this all looks good, but I don't want to think. So I'll just call Mike and get him to program for me.
Yeah. I think Cale's done more for strongman than just about anybody, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. That beginner resource, because it's so hard to know where to start, and that's definitely, you know, where you would go to actually get that piece figured out, and then you can kind of go
for sure.
There. All right, man. Well, I greatly appreciate you being in my corner here all these years and hopping on the podcast. If you guys ever want to hear more from Mike, I'm sure at some point we'll get you back on here, but you actually were on one of my buddies and one of my other old coaches podcast, Travis Mash's The Barbell Life.
Oh yeah.
Was it like 4 years ago or something? That's a good listen to. I forget what episode, but if you just search Mike Westerling on your Apple Podcasts app, you'll find it. So there you go.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Dan.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time, man. We'll talk soon about prepping me for Static Monsters.
Sounds good. Have a good day, man.
All right. Later, man.
Bye.
All right, and that was episode 45 of Meathead Chatter. Again, you can find me at strongman_Dan on Instagram. You can check the website. We have some ebooks. We have some events coming up. We have lots of little things and ever-growing options on the website, swing-beast.com. And stay tuned as we will have more for you next week.